Hey guys, it's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women Podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Some of these queens are heroic.
And some of these bitches are horrific. But we think the most interesting thing of all is that they're all
notorious.
Yay! Okay. We are back. Back for another episode. How are you, my friend? How have you been?
You know, I'm fine. No. I'm good. It's the hot. Like, listen, here's the thing. We're in the middle of like the holiday season aggressively. Yeah. And it is one of my very, very favorite times of the year. And no amount of scrolling and news is going to stop that from me finding joy in the holidays. So I'm finding so much joy, but also I'm tired.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I haven't gotten into like my holiday viewing that much yet because I'm one of those girls who I watch all of Christmas Carol versions.
Like I respect that. Yes,
the George C. Scott one, the Patrick Stewart one, the animated ones,
the Muppets one.
Mm-hmm. Like I watch all of them. One of my favorites, which is very hard to find, is the one with Vanessa L. Williams, A Diva Christmas Carol. Have you ever seen that one?
Stop. No, but I'm ready to watch
it. Oh my God. It is so good. It's basically her precursor performance to being Wilhelmina Slater on Ugly Betty.
Oh, sorry. I'm having a moment. I need to watch it right now.
She is so terrible. It's so good. Yes. It's so good.
Oh my God. Yes.
So I haven't started watching that. And I usually will watch You've Got Mail, which is one of my favorite movies. I don't know. It feels very holiday-ish because it's they do have Christmas over the time during the timeline.
I'll give it to you.
I love that movie. I love that movie.
Listen, we just showed our children in honor of the Christmas season, Die Hard, which is a controversial Christmas movie.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, people. Don't come at me because it literally takes place during a Christmas party.
It's true. No, it's true. Because I watched it again.
Like, it's a Christmas movie. I don't know why this is a controversy.
Okay, I hear you. But like, is it filling you with like joy and light?
Yes, because young Bruce Willis.
Oh no, he's hot.
Cracking jokes is so delightful. Okay, before he got became serious Bruce Willis, like he became serious Bruce Willis, and it's like, why? I love the wisecracking, lovable Bruce Willis. Like,
it's also P.S. This end of progressive.
What do you mean?
Okay, so the very beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. Where he sees his wife and he's like washing off, you know, his muscles in the sink. And I got distracted. And they're like arguing, right? Because the premise is that she moved to LA for this highfalutin, high powerful job. And she changed her last name to her maiden name because being married isn't great. Right? Because it's the 80s, you guys. And people are shitty now. So imagine the 80s. Even worse. Okay. So she says, I'm still your wife, but I had to change my last name. So I was a married woman so I could be this high powered person. And he's like, yes, you're my wife. And she's like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I'm going to do this job and be this person. And then like she gets distracted. She leaves and he's like, oh, I was such an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Good job, Bruce Willis.
And also her using her maiden name saves her in a lot of ways as a plot point. So
So like literally standing up for who you are and what you need saved the movie. Like saved the people. Okay.
Exactly.
So it's a progressive Christmas
before
movie.
Before woke became.
Listen, Die Hard is a woke Christmas movie. There. Uh-oh. I said it.
A bunch of incels' heads just exploded. So,
I know. You're welcome.
You know, speaking of which, incels, because in the news lately. Like, you and I have been talking about offline, talking about briefly, maybe doing like a small segment, maybe like something separate from the weekly show that we record about notorious women in the news. Right.
Oh yeah.
And I'm thinking like the notorious women, and this is a group. So the United Healthcare CEO that was killed by the guy.
Yep.
So women are collectively online lusting over the killer because he's like handsome or something. I'm like, what is going on?
Daddy.
Ladies, stop it. It's like, what's his name from the show You? When you first aired.
Yes.
The guy is a he's a stalker. He's creepy. He's not hot. He's not sexy.
Can we separate hot from serial killer? It's very important that they're two separate things, ladies.
Ted Bundy killed a bunch of women. And he was not hot. I love it when they're like, oh, he's a handsome. I look back, I'm like, Ted Bundy looks kind of weird. He looks like a serial killer with those serial killer eyes. I don't know. Maybe it was a timing thing. Maybe the 70s, they thought that was hot. I don't know.
Maybe, it was harder to shower then. I don't know.
Maybe. Ted Bundy was like early 80s. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. But these women who are collectively lusting over this accused murderer who shot somebody in the street. You ladies are notorious because
maybe we should just share with them that they deserve someone who is not a serial killer.
Someone who can do better. Yeah. It's also hot, but he may murder me is not something that turns me on. I don't.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested.
I'm built differently. Mm-mm. Maybe. And this is not this is not kink shaming. But I don't want to fuck some dude that could kill me while either before, during, or after the act of love making. I don't want to think that does not turn me on.
I don't want to get too personal, but I'm pretty sure like I wouldn't be able to like let go and enjoy the situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So to those ladies, stop it. Stop it. Stop. Don't be a pick me. That's totally, right. Totally pick me behavior. Oh, my Lord. Like have some respect, ladies. Don't be, you're making us look bad. You're making the rest of us look bad.
Yeah,
so stop it.
It does. Yeah. So we would like to say here at Notorious Women Podcast that we do not think one should lust after a murderer. Okay.
You're welcome. On that note, should get started. So this week you are sharing a notorious woman with me.
Okay. So I'm really excited. So holidays is our theme, right?
Yes.
And as a Jewish person, I was like, okay, we got to find some like badass Hanukkah Jewish person. Mm-hmm. And I found her.
Okay.
Now, I got most of what, my information from the Jewish Women's Archive. So, her name is Judith, because when you clicked play on the episode, it said Judith. We don't know her last name. And apparently she is a story that used to be told for Hanukkah, but they stopped. Now, I'm going to quickly tell you the story of Hanukkah itself.
Okay.
Just because they're basically calling her the female version of the male version of the story of Hanukkah. So basic. And also I'm going to share with you the story of Hanukkah. You're welcome. Because most people don't really know the story of Hanukkah.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
I don't.
I know that most people don't know it because when I was in eighth grade and we were reading The Diary of Anne Frank as part of school, and my teacher went up to me as like the Jew and said, would you mind telling the actual story of Hanukkah? Because we read the play of The Diary of Anne Frank. We did not read the book, right? This is public school. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's the scene where they light the candles. And so I said, of course. And I went home and I went, so what's the story again? And my mom went, oh, it's crap. So we looked it up.
Okay.
Because it's actually a little complicated. It's more than a donut or a latke. But it actually would make a great miniseries, I have to say. So basically, around around 165 BCE in the land of Judea, there was a miracle, right? So the land had been conquered by several different, very powerful rulers, but all of these rulers had always allowed Judaism to continue. They were like, okay, fine, I don't give a shit. But then one guy, Antiochus, the fourth, was like, no, I'm a dick. And so he was like, no, I had no religious tolerance at all for anyone.
Okay.
And so they outlawed Judaism and they repressed Jewish practice with violence and aggression. Now, they were pissed and they revolted, right? And there was a Jewish, it was a Jewish priest. So Jews, they used to call them priests back in the day. And isn't it interesting? I maybe just learned that right now. I maybe was like, well, yesterday years old. And his sons decided to take the lead and fight for their freedom. So his name was Judah, and they were Maccabi was their last name. So you'll hear Judah and the Maccabees. You'll see the children's book of Judah and his Maccabees.
Okay.
Right?
So Judah is fighting back in the land of Judea.
Yes. You see what you did there? Okay. I like it. And essentially they won. You know, it's one of those like
Samson and Goliath. Samson or David and Goliath.
David and Goliath.
Where Samson,
you know, it was a tiny like five people versus 500,000 people. I maybe exaggerate a little. I don't know. But they were clever and they did what they needed to do and they win. And then they were able to rededicate the temple and they only had enough oil for one night. Because in every temple, there's like oil that is forever. Like it doesn't go away. And this lasted 8 nights, thus 8 nights of Hanukkah. So that's that story. And that story has been handed down to all the Jews. I mean, it kind of skipped me a little. I had to learn that later. But I remember being like, I know there's like a Judah and Maccabees and like a war.
We almost just got David and Samson mixed up. And I'm like,
yeah.
And I always remember David, because David was played sexily by, what's his name? From Pretty Woman.
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere played David in like a mini series or something. And I remember thinking, David's hot. Like, David's so handsome.
David. Get it. Throw that stone.
Richard Gere still got it, too.
Mm. Yes. Okay. No, I was never mad at Richard Gere. I'll tell you that right now. Okay.
Yeah.
But probably way too young to see Pretty Woman when it came out like I did. Okay.
Yeah.
So apparently there is another story that the Jewish people used to tell on Hanukkah, and they just stopped. And this story is about a badass woman. She was a widow named Judith, right? Now, this was about a few hundred years before the Maccabean revolt, right? So this happened even sooner. Yeah.
And his name was Judah and her name is Judith.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I would just like to quickly caveat that we cannot confirm historically much of this. Okay? Because these are like
Stories. These are parables and
oral tradition. I always think something kind of must have happened, right?
Yeah, it's you know, these are based on probably real stories.
Yeah.
And these, you always have to add that caveat. And then also they were translated from Aramaic, probably.
And like literally nobody speaks Aramaic. Nobody speaks Aramaic. So, I'm going to tell this story and I'm going to love the story, but like, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, you guys. It's December. Okay. So in a town called Bethulia in the land of Judea, Nebuchadnezzar, you have to be Jewish to say that, who was the king of the Babylonian Empire, But did I practice before I told the story? I did. sent one of his generals, Holofernes, I don't know if I'm saying that right, to conquer Judea and the Jews who live there. Now, listen, this happened all the time. And we did have a ton of history where we do have that as fact. Where they, you know, but this was just
it's
like
a typical war. It's a typical it's a war typical in the ancient war. World.
And yeah, they just conquering. Love throwing Jews under a bus. It's like a hobby at this point for the world. Hey, let's fuck over the Jews. Oh, yeah.
Did they specifically go for the Jewish people or just for the land of Judea?
Okay. They wanted to conquer Judea and the Jews who lived there. They wanted to take it over and kick them out. So he camped outside of Bethuli with thousands of troops and he blocked off all of their resources. So no one should do that ever in every regard. What a dick. What an asshole. So they'd been fighting back, but they were losing. And they were about to surrender when Judith was like, wait, hold my wine. Okay. So she was like hot. Okay. Because you know her husband died of like a paper cut because it was back in the day. Right? So she was still young and sexy. Okay.
So Judith is mad about her husband dying from a paper cut.
You know, like, I mean, I made these fuck these motherfuckers. I'm hungry. Let's go. So she, under the cover of night, she and her handmaid snuck out. I don't know if it was like more than one handmaid or not. I think it was like one or two, right? And they snuck into Holofernes's camp and they were pretending to surrender. And they were like, oh, giggle teehee, I want to surrender. Oh no, my robe slipped off my shoulder. Best fix that. Giggle. And he was like, oh ladies, I bet you've never seen anyone so handsome. And they were like, never, no thank you. We brought you some delicious cheeses and wines to make amends for our existence. And he said, absolutely, that was correct. And so he ate the cheese, which was very, very salty. Oops, that made him very, very thirsty. So he drank wine to help quench the thirst. And we all know cheese and wine go very well together. So he was like, come with me to my tent. And she was like, giggle teehee, yes. So she's offering more wine as he fell asleep. Yeah, that happens when you drink that much wine. And I mean, I don't know what was in the wine. I cannot confirm.
I just love it that this, and I want to say here, I want to go on record as saying that this absolutely happened because this tracks that a man would be like, oh, the women are harmless. They came saying that they want to surrender and offering us food.
Yeah.
Yes, this is not a trap because a woman is not smart enough to think of this. So let me go off with this strange woman to my tent and drink wine. This absolutely happened.
100%. And you know, he's like stumbling to his tent. So she's like, he's not going to touch me. This is not a problem.
No.
Well, what happened was after he crashed, right, he passed out, she took his sword and chopped off his head.
Yeah, she did. Yes, that's she what did. I would do. That's I would what absolutely would do. Do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense.
But the question is, you've chopped off the head.
Yes.
How do you get, do you take the head with you when you leave? Or
I really appreciate that you asked that question. Yes. Yes, you do.
Okay.
And what you do is you walk back easily into your town and you put it on a stake and you put it up in the middle of your town and say, his head's gone. Maybe we could fight back. Okay. So the enemy wakes up next morning, you know, bright and early, and sees the leader's head on a stake in the middle of the town.
Yeah.
So this chaos, because then, right, when their general leader, like all the infighting, all the bullshit, we all know all about it, right, started to
happen. That's always happening. It's always happening.
Always happening.
Underneath the surface. Yeah.
It's always happening anyway. It's always bubbling. Yeah. Well, now it's exploding, which gave, because they had been fighting back. Well, that gave them the lead because now they're weak. They don't, they're all probably arguing as to who's the head now, right?
Yeah. And freaked out. Because they're like,
what happened?
If they're smart enough to send over a honeypot, basically, and get our leader's head and put it on a stake, what else are they capable of?
Yeah. So this created that opening, and they launched a successful attack, and they defeated the Assyrian forces. Those forces left. So, I know.
Yeah, this absolutely happened. I'm telling you, knowing men and the nature of men, yeah, this absolutely happened.
Yeah, I feel, but here's my thing, and here's like my, what I am so sad about is why don't we tell this story? Because there's so many gruesome stories, you know.
You know why they don't tell the story? Because they can't give the woman the credit. Like, yeah, you know, also, exactly, they don't want to be seen as taking advantage of something as weak as a woman going in and sleeping with the, literally sleeping with the, well, she didn't really sleep with him, but going in to seduce the enemy.
I don't think they want to encourage their daughters to do this kind of thing. Let the men go out,
just, rawr,
set the traps, go boom. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, this was a story that was told for hundreds of years. They just slowly stopped.
Huh.
And apparently, so very, very important information. This is maybe the reason why I brought this, is that what Jews used to do on Hanukkah is they would make their latkes with salty cheese because to commemorate the salty cheese.
Yeah.
How delicious does that sound?
Oh, I was never a cheese person before the pandemic, but now I'm fully on board with the cheese train. Cheese is delicious. I get it
delicious.
Now.
Delicious. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Like cheese.
As a child, but now.
I get it. It's got protein. It's filling. It's delicious. Yeah.
It's like satiate. It like satiates you.
And it's savory. And it's good. It's good with a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was a kid, I liked mac and cheese and I liked pizza and I didn't want cheese on anything else. Like I was the kid who would open the sandwich, take the cheese off, put it back on.
Yeah. Yeah.
To this day, I don't like a cheeseburger.
Yeah, me either. I like cheese in a specific way. I like cheese probably like a grown-up now, where I didn't like cheese like a grown-up before, so.
One of my kids likes cheese like a grown up too. It's really cute. We take a cheese, we put on the cracker wrap. Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah, it's so like cute. A sophisticated kid. So Judith, so the story of the lighting of the menorah, how does that fit into with the story of Judith?
It doesn't. So from what I read, they just sort of told the story around Hanukkah because it was another story of overcoming a seemingly impossible situation. And Hanukkah is a hopeful holiday. Like
the
idea that everything is gone, it can come back, but you have to fight for it. And I, for no connection to what's happening in the world right now, really, really like those stories.
You know, so funny is you. Now you're telling me the story. Now I realize like how the Christians are biting off of Judaism, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because one of my favorite stories growing up as a Southern Baptist, I'm a heathen now, but still. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite stories was the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people. He goes and he's preaching and the people come to see him and they're hungry. And he goes to his disciples and he's like, start feeding the people. They're like, but my Lord, we don't have enough food. We don't have enough bread and fishes. And they're like, he's like, God will make a way. So all of a sudden, and I saw like a dramatization of this, and like it's like a bottomless pit of like fish and bread that comes out. But what I loved about the story as a kid, you know, it's like, oh, it's a miracle, right? It's a miracle. Right. People are getting fed and people are, but they always say fishes and not fish. And I go, hee hee, fishes and the bread. Because you the fishes.
Oh my God. You are I mean, I knew you were a nerd. I did. I knew that about you. I've known you a long time, but I feel like it was today that I discovered the level of nerddom that you truly are. Wow.
No, I believe that's what you call a dork, because I get tickled by the people saying fishes.
Yep. Most people wouldn't think about it. They wouldn't think that that's grammatically incorrect.
Yeah, I'm a silly, silly child. I'm silly.
Friggin' adorable, please.
No. But it, now you're telling me the story, and I'm like, it's just Christians biting off of the Jews. Like, they're like, we want a miracle story, too, of something that just, we didn't have enough of something, and then all of a sudden we have it. I mean, listen, I love a miracle too. That's why, right? I love magic. I know it's not real, but I want to believe that it is real.
Right.
So
maybe it is.
Yeah, maybe it is. But that absolutely happened. Judith. And then they were like, Judith? Yep. No, we're going to have to say is Judah.
Yeah. And it's male. So that's better, right? We love males.
Better.
I always feel like listen, I'm Jewish, right? But I've heard tale of, in Christianity, and we've talked about it also in Islam, how there are stories of the women, you know, and that's why I look like in Hanukkah, like in Judaism too, there are so many stories of these strong women that get erased. And that is
The Prophet Muhammad's first wife.
Let's talk about that.
Was a successful businesswoman, and she taught him business trade. And for some reason, they forgot about all of that.
Like, she, Khadijah was her name. Am I making that
up? No, Khadijah's his daughter.
Okay.
So it's,
we have an episode on it, you guys.
Yes. Go and check that out in the archives. But even with that, him being like, well, obviously my daughter's smart enough to.
Yes.
Do things like what? But for some reason, hundreds and thousands of years later, they're like, women aren't smart enough to hold. The only thing they can do is hold water and boil it. Whereas men, as we grunt at each other in a circle of men.
And that's the thing. Like, if we got back to where these I think that actually, if we got back to all the at least the three religions I just talked about, because I know more about those than others, but I don't know that much about any of them, to be honest, but got back to their sources where there were stories of women, interesting stories, like, and the kind of complex, you know, then religion can't be a tool to keep women down. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, not all religion does that. I know that.
No. And also, usually the teachings are pure. Like, the teachings are all about, like, help the poor, you know, don't fight, don't covet, don't kill, don't, you know, don't cheat, don't lie, that kind of thing. It's all the religions, right? But the idea that when we get into not even so modern of a world, that women should be relegated to taking care of men and children, then we have to change the narrative, you know, whereas before, I think there are a lot more female warriors in the ancient world.
There were.
But have been erased. And so the few that have survived, we've had pirates.
I love the pirates.
Yeah, we've had, empresses in ancient Kush that we've talked about on this show.
Yeah.
Women can, and also the story of Judith really does ring true, because it takes a woman to do a job that a man can't do. And she can use her feminine wiles. That's part of the yin and yang of male, female, and or non-binary. Like, that's the power of it, right?
Yeah.
Because if a man had walked in, then they would immediately put them in the stocks, in jail or a cell or what have you, and their guard wouldn't be down. But a woman coming in under the guise of surrendering, because they're like, of course you'll send the women to surrender, and they don't think of her as a warrior.
My husband's too headstrong, but I know we need to surrender.
Yes, exactly. And so his guard is down. I mean, it also reminds me of the story of the Trojan horse, right?
Yeah.
which is a war. If I don't know my ancient history that well, but they're fighting it over a woman or something. But the idea, like, I think that's such a, I don't know why they didn't think that something was amiss. Cause it's like this big ass thing you're rolling into the city. You don't think they're going to hide somebody in there? Were people in the ancient world not that bright?
I guess so.
I mean, people in the modern world aren't that bright. So I would
go with yes, based on my knowledge of humanity now.
Cool. That tracks, but yeah. And also it also feeds into that thing that the misogyny of that women are sneaky.
Right.
But women aren't sneaky. They just are using a different skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're very good at it because we have to be. Right.
Yeah. Because have you met most men? I just, I don't know why they think they're the superior sex. Have you seen children? Sweet. Your son is not as bright as your daughter. I'm just, just observe them. Just, like, he's special.
Listen, I'm a mother, so I'm staying very quiet if one day my children decide to pull up this archive. Okay? Babies, I love you so much. Okay. That's all I have to say about that.
But I love that, the story of Judith, that, that 100%, 1,000% happened.
Okay.
It's a true story. we're going to, settle on that.
Right? That sounds good. So she actually inspired paintings by Caravaggio and Michelangelo.
Ooh. Ooh.
She inspired oratorios by Vivaldi and Mozart. And she does appear on some antique menorahs. So
really,
I need to get my hands on some of those antique menorahs. I don't think I can afford it though.
No,
probably not.
Like, I love a Caravaggio. I love Caravaggio paintings. They're so, like, you see them and it's like they're jumping off the canvas towards you. I don't know. I love them.
Now
so
I want to see which ones she inspired. Like, I'll try to find them and put them on our Instagram.
And so we don't know her last name like we know Judah. Like,
listen, if I didn't look properly enough and y'all are like, her last name is obviously blah, 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 you let me know. I could not find it.
What does Judith mean in Hebrew? Do you know?
I don't know.
Oh. Am I putting you on the spot?
You are. Stop it. Leave me alone. I can tell you what Miriam means.
What does it mean?
It means rebel.
Really?
That makes sense.
Miriam is an old school name, like Judith too.
That's right.
Like, yeah. And what was the name of the leader of
Nebuchadnezzar?
Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar. I've heard of that name. Obviously, I'm not saying it as well as you, but
I'm saying it really well.
And the the general, what was his name?
Oh God, Hola. Because
that is such a weird name. Again, and I always wonder, Hola Ferris.
Actually, I'm not totally off. Hola Fairness.
Hola Fairness
sounds like Hola Fairness, you know. But
yeah, Hola Fairness. I always wonder, like, when they're translating it from, because usually a lot of the stuff was translated from Aramaic to Greek first, right?
Yes, yes.
And then from Greek to other languages, like, is that lost in translation? Hola Fairness.
I mean, I'm gonna go with probably. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. All of these names, all of these specifics. Like, first of all, it says, like, this is where I'm like, she sings a song of praise to God. So after they routed out the army,
mm-hmm.
Syrian army's gone, she sings a song of praise to God and then lives to be 105 years old. Now, this is when we like to embellish a story.
I mean, 105, though, that's better than they're like Moses and Abraham lived like
50. Like,
yeah, you're like, did they use dog years calendars?
Because I'm just like wondering, because we did not have either vaccines or antibiotics. So that's interesting.
And they were still procreating also. Like, I wonder, they're like, oh, they lived 200 years. This, again, is those dog years? Ooh. I don't know.
Do you want to have sex with a 125-year-old man? I don't, no. If anyone's asking. No.
You know, one of the interesting things, and maybe you can confirm this for me, that I heard that Moses supposedly had a stutter?
Yes, he did. No. Okay, so here, this is what I know. This, I'm really good at these stories because okay. My name is Miriam and my brother's name is Aaron. Hey, Aaron, you'll never hear this podcast. Maybe. So I know the Moses, Miriam, Aaron story very well because it's the only one I paid attention to in Hebrew school.
Okay.
Aaron had the stutter.
Oh, okay.
And so Miriam had to help Aaron, and I gave my brother a lot of shit for that when we were kids. That's what I know.
Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't Moses.
And if I'm wrong, you guys, yeah, you can blame my Jewish day school.
But you know what they had a lot of?
What?
Fishes.
Oh my God.
Fishes.
That was Baby Lovetta in church.
I was like, ooh, the fishies. I love that.
And your mom was like, anyway. Stop it.
I'm a simple woman, right? I just love a silly. I told you my favorite, one of my favorite forms of comedy are puppets.
Oh my God. You know I did puppetry. I think we have this conversation all the time. I think when we're 100 years old, we're going to like have this conversation every day.
Miriam, you did professional level puppets like Muppets. No, I'm talking about just people with a sock on their hand.
Oh, Lovetta. Okay. You know, my kids have a variety show every year. You should come. I think you'd love it.
There's actually, I've been on TikTok just lurking and watching stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's this account, because you know I love Yacht Rock as well.
Yep.
There's a guy who does puppets with like, they've been singing Yacht Rock with these terrible mustaches.
Oh my God.
And these terrible wigs. And oh my God. I give my life every time. It's like, baby, come back. Or they do Michael McDonald. I keep forgetting.
Lovetta's worlds collided. Okay.
So, you know, I'm getting my life. I am, again, I look like a serious, you know.
You do. You look like a very
black woman. I'm a strong black woman. No, inside, I'm like, fishes. On that note.
Okay. Guys, we should probably let people go back to their lives now.
Yes, but I mean, hopefully this tickled you as well. And actually, if you want, it'd be nice if you guys wrote in to let us know something that might be silly that just makes you giggle like an 8-year-old or something. The
we'll
way fishes does me. Yeah, like if you want to do that, you can write in because it's the holidays. We got to find our joy. Come on. It's a season of giving and getting and singing and overeating and candy and menorahs. Christmas trees and Kwanzaa stuff.
Kwanzaa?
Maybe I'm gonna lose my black card.
Is there anything else? Y'all, tell us. Let us know what we are offending by not mentioning.
Yes, because
Do you do anything for Kwanzaa?
No, Kwanzaa was something that I'm not that familiar with. It was something that, you know, obviously we know about, that I know about, but we didn't really practice Kwanzaa. We just old school. We're just like Christmas tree, Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph, you know, typical Charlie Brown stuff, you know.
But wait, have you seen Sandra Lee's Kwanzaa cake?
No.
Y'all.
Who is Sandra Lee? Who?
She puts corn nuts in it because it's like a for white black woman? People. Oh, yes. She's translucent. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm sure she's also a wonderful lady. I'm not trying. But if you look at this.
I don't think that's a good idea. Sandra Lee? Is her name really Sandra Lee, like from Greece?
It is Sandra Lee. She makes a Kwanzaa cake with prepackaged everything, prepackaged, like, you know, like I'm going to take this frosting from a can. And then she's like, okay, she goes, I'm going to put these acorns on, and it's corn nuts, but she calls them acorns.
Okay, white lady. Back away. This is rage baiting. This is people who pose to get people upset because ain't no way.
No, it was on the Food Network like 20 years ago, but it's still there.
Oh, 20 years ago? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I thought this was a modern thing.
There's also a Hanukkah cake. It's a Hanukkah cake made with wired Hanukkah stars. What?
This is where the whites should leave stuff alone in my nail business. Like, you know what? When you make a redneck cake, holiday cake, then we can talk, Sandra Lee.
Balance it out. Yeah.
Like, and not for nothing, that sounds delicious. And I probably would eat it in the privacy of
it's
my
home. It's probably
be
better than corn nuts in a cake. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, my Lord Jesus. This is why we don't trust the white ladies that come to the black cookout. We don't trust y'all.
No.
Because y'all love to put corn and raisins and stuff that
that doesn't make any sense. I won't
don't
eat
do it
that.
Girl don't do it. Like, just go on and find Abby Fisher's one of her recipes that
there you go
we've been posting on our social media and make stuff, white ladies. We love you, we love for you to listen, but don't put just random raisins and acorns and
raisins
stuff.
You can get raisins, but because you can open a box of raisins and just eat them. Okay.
That's
the best use of raisins.
Yeah, don't
for
put
me
them in
personally.
Random stuff.
I don't like raisins in anything.
Definitely don't put them in potato salads, white ladies. Ever do that.
And it's like because, mayonnaise and raisons. I'm supposed to eat
don't
that.
Do it.
No, I'm so full. I'm so sorry. That looks amazing, though. Oh, I wish I could. But I'm having stomach troubles. Yeah, it's really serious. So I'm gonna have to walk away.
On that note, that wraps it up for another episode of the Notorious Woman Podcast. Guys, remember to follow us on all the things. Also, if you could go to Spotify and the Apple Store and give us a 5-star review, 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars.
Hi.
That would be your Hanukkah and Christmas gift to us.
Yes.
That would be so nice. We would really appreciate it. You can also, if you got some money, we will take that too. Money, yes. Yeah. You can do that at our Patreon, .com/notoriouswomen. That's PATREON.com/notoriouswomen. And Miriam, how else can they find and support the show?
Okay, good question. We are Notorious Women Podcast on Instagram, on TikTok, and on YouTube. Y'all follow us. Follow us if you love us on all of those things, truly. Because YouTube, you can listen to episodes. But if you subscribe, that's also super nice. And you can also DM us on Instagram. You can email at notoriouswmpod@gmail.com if you have bigger things to share. And that is that.
And Blue Sky, we're on Blue Sky now.
I always forget. Yes, we are on Blue Sky. And it's Notorious Women at, I don't know, bluesky.social.something. You know. Y'all know.
You see our logo. And and again, tell your friends about the podcast because we're trying to grow we've actually grown a lot, and thank you so much for supporting the show, but we are trying to grow even more so I can go on trips and have sexy pool boys just giving me foot
that
rubs.
True, like, but we could also, you know, eventually get our Netflix special and fix the world that way.
Yeah.
So.
No, Miriam.
What?
We need, it's selfish. I'm being myself.
No.
And I know what I will have them do?
How much money we'd get for the Netflix special? I'm also being selfish.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
and then,
but then we could also fix the world so we don't feel like assholes.
That's true. But, and also, if you want to think about something delightful, just think about these men rubbing my feet and saying, fishes.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.